We have a precious Savior. Amen. He'll not leave us nor forsake us, and that's our hope. Blessing to you and an encouragement, and I hope that you'll carry this forth. And when your days get dark and the things get to be a little bit rough, you just remember this, that you can pick yourself up and go on again. Amen. You can confess your sins, and God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us and make us righteous. Look at the one in Psalm in chapter 3. Verse 1, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. Amen. I cried on the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone and hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. I want to take that verse in verse 2 and that phrase the psalmist says, or the people say unto the psalmist, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. You know, that is the cry of the world. When the world looks upon a person, they will say and they will claim that there is no help for him in God. You know, I realized this came upon me when I preached my mother's funeral. There she lay in the casket, and I thought, you know, what chance would she have in this world today? She was not a very godly woman. For that matter, I'm not a very godly person. You and I are not godly people. What chance does a sinner have in a casket? If he was to be judged by this world and the criteria that the world gives, what chance does the world have? What chance do you and I have? What chance did my mother have? Divorced many times, did many things that I'm sure are an embarrassment unto her, or were an embarrassment unto her. Ungodly things, but you and I have done the same things. You and I have committed ungodly acts. And if the world were to judge us, they would say that there is no help. God does not want anything to do with them. How could God have anything to do with you? You know, Joseph Smith came into this room tonight and made a judgment upon us. He'd say there's no help for you and God. There's no way. You weren't married in our temple, Joe Smith would say. How in the world do you expect God to have mercy upon you? You weren't baptized in our temple. You've never read the Book of Mormon. After all, the Book of Mormon, now there's where you're going to find some truth. That's what Joe Smith would say, and he would condemn your soul to hell even though he doesn't believe in hell. Do you realize that Judge Rutherford and Mr. Russell would come in here and say tonight that you would not have a chance, there's no hope for you in God, because you're not of 144,000. There's no way that you can make it in the presence of God. There's no way that God is going to look upon you with mercy. There is no hope for you in God. Why? Because you're not a part of the kingdom. You're not a part of the 144,000. They would exclude you. You realize, I know everybody thinks that John Paul II is just a sweet old soul, but you know what? He subscribes to a doctrine that condemns every one of us here tonight. He says, you know, if he came to my mother's funeral, he would have said, if he was honest, had to have said, if he was truthful, he'd have to say, this woman is condemned to the hellfire, and there is no chance for her, although Jesus had mercy on her soul. Although Jesus had forgiven her. He would have had to stand up, if he was an honest man, and say, there is no hope for this woman. There is no hope for this person in the eyes of God. Why? She wasn't baptized. You weren't baptized in our temple. You weren't baptized with our priests. You see, without our priest, without our baptism, without our holy water, without our sacrament, you cannot wash away your sins. You cannot take away your sins without our baptism. And woe be to you, according to Roman Catholic doctrine, if you're not baptized in a Catholic church. Woe be to you if you die without having confessed your sins to a Catholic priest. They would say there is no hope for them in God. They would accuse us of being hateful. They would accuse us as gospel preachers of being anti-Catholic and against the Catholics. They would accuse us of bashing Catholics. They would accuse us of many things. But you know what? I've never thrown a stone at a Catholic. I've never hit a Catholic over the head. I've never threatened a Catholic. I've never thrown dead animals on their porch. I've never doused a Catholic with a bucket of water. I've never smacked a Catholic across the face. I've never taken a Catholic Bible and ripped it up in front of their face and thrown it down. Hey, I never burned a believer at the stake. Hey, I never condemned anybody to hell. But that's what the Roman Catholic Church does, and that's what John Paul II, so according to his doctrine, does to every one of you here tonight if you're not a Catholic. You see, there is no forgiveness of sins according to Roman Catholic doctrine outside of their priesthood. It is only the priest that can forgive you of their sins, forgive your sins according to their doctrine, and they would say there's no hope for you. You're a heretic. You walk in heresy. There's no hope for you. But there's hope in the Lord.
Amen.
There's hope in the Lord. You know what? My Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I thank God it's for whosoever. I thank God it's not a limited number. It's not 144,000. I thank God it's not for the Mormon. It's not for the Catholic. It's not just those religions. It's for whosoever.
Amen.
Wouldn't it be a shame? Wouldn't it be a crying shame, brothers, if only women could go to heaven? That'd just be terrible. Wouldn't it be a crying shame, ladies, if only men could go to heaven? Wouldn't it be a shame if only Americans could go to heaven? Wouldn't it be just a crying, what a pity it would be if only a certain class could get to heaven?
Amen.
Or a certain membership. And yet that's what religion portrays. You know what? There's a great battle going on between religions. Not their religion, our religion. Not that religion, my religion. No, my friend, religion has nothing to do with it. It has to do with Jesus.
Amen.
And Jesus invites everybody to come. Come on to me, all you that are burdened, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, hallelujah. We serve a God that is willing and able to save a sinner.
Amen.
God is able to forgive sinners, and we're a testimony of that fact. And yet the world cries out, there's no hope for him and God. Even now, even in being a gospel preacher, they would condemn our souls to hell. I've had them tell me to my face, you live a better life than I do. You Christians, talking about us. You Protestants, talking about us. You believers, you disciples of the Lord. You heretics, yes, you live a better life than us, but better to die a Catholic. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. They cry, and many of them that cry, there's no help for him and God. There is no help. God does not want it. They have their concept. Thank God for the Bible. Thank God for the Bible. You know, because they convince a lot of people. Their arguments are able to persuade people. Look in Job in chapter 9. I not only realize that out of this world there are religious people that condemn the world. All of the religions condemn you if you're not part of their religion. Do you know what my Bible says? My Bible says Jesus Christ came into the world not to condemn the world. Your Father said him not to condemn the world. He came not to condemn, but to save.
Amen.
He came to save, to seek and to save that which is lost. Praise the Lord Jesus!
Amen.
Hallelujah! Jesus saves sinners! In Job in chapter 9, in verse 29, he says, if I be wicked, why then labor I in vain? If I wash myself with the snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shalt thou plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. For he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that may lay his hand upon us both. Let him take his rod away from me, and let not his fear terrify me. Then would I speak and not fear him. But it's not so with me. You know what I know? I know that my own conscience, my own wicked life condemns me. You know what I know? That your conscience and your own wicked life and your own sin condemns you. What are you going to do about your sin? What can we do about our sin? Here he says, if I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shall thou plunge me in a ditch and mine own clothes shall abhor me. Do you realize it's not a matter of getting baptized in the River Jordan? Do you realize it's not a matter of getting water blessed by a priest or a minister? Do you realize having water applied to your body will not cleanse you of your wickedness? The jails are full of baptized people. You mark it down, 9 times out of 10, the man that pulls the trigger and kills his neighbor is a baptized person. Wars and crimes, great tragedies have been committed upon humanity by baptized people.
Right.
Baptism does not save you.
Amen.
Paul himself said that Jesus did not send him to baptize, but to preach the gospel. This man in the book of Job said, if I wash my hands in snow water, if I tried to make myself clean, it would do no good. God would still abhor me. What good is it going to do? Have you ever tried to take a bath? There's some things that just don't come off. Huh? You can get some of that super duper soap or Go Joe or whatever they call that. You can put that stuff on it. It just don't come off. And if your body is not cleansed by these things, how in the world are you going to cleanse your soul? How in the world are you going to clean up that wicked vileness that is in you? That iniquity that stains you and makes you ugly? That's what he said. What am I going to do? He says, neither is there any days betwixt us. He says, you know what I need? I need somebody to advocate for me. I need somebody that would mediate for me. I need somebody that would go to God in my favor, and he would do some translating, and he would be my ambassador. He would be my mediator. I need somebody to plead my cause. After all, you and I are wicked sinners. How can we go into the presence of a holy God? A holy God that hates sin, that despises sin, that sin is an abomination. How in the world can a sinner go into his presence? He can't. My Bible says he needs a mediator. He needs somebody that speaks the language of God. Somebody that's on good terms with God. And you know what religion will offer you? They'll offer you 1,000 mediators. They'll say, come to our church, we have the very best priest. Our priesthood has the best line. It goes all the way back. And they'll talk about successors of Peter, and they'll talk about how their priesthood in every religion you go to. Whether it's a Catholic religion, whether it's a Protestant religion, whether it's a Buddhist religion, they'll talk about their priesthood and how good it is. Hey, I've been talking to them priests. I spent some time talking to them. You and I find out? I found out them priests have the same problem I got. Hey, they told me and they told you that God will not listen to a sinner. That we need a priest in order to communicate with God. Alright? I'm in agreement. So I went to talk to them. You know what I found out before them priests listened to my confession? They got to do some confessing themselves. Whoa, wait a minute. If that priest has to confess his sins, if that priest admits that he's a sinner, which they do, they admit they are sinners, then how in the world can they advocate for me? How can they mediate for me? Because if God will not hear me, a sinner, he'll not hear them either. If God refuses in his holiness and his justness and his rightness to hear my plea as a sinner, he'll not hear them either. They have the same problem I got. Some of you tonight would say, well, yeah, that's true. Nobody can trust the priest. You're bitter against them. You despise them for whatever reason. Well, that's true. Yes, that's true. All priests are sinners. And you know what we really need? That say, therefore, we need a mother. Oh, there's nothing like a mother. A mother that would take care of us. A mother would watch over us. A mother would cradle us. A mother that always cares for us. Did your mother always care for you? Your mother never took you, put you over her knees and gave you a few slaps? Your mother never made a mistake. Your mother was without sin. You know what they told me? You know what they tell you in Mexico? You need to talk with the mother of God. Well, where is this mother of God? Well, in San Juan de los Lagos. You can go down and see her. Hey, we went there one time. Spent some time there. You know what? You walk into the temple and you're expecting to see some glorious thing. You know what you see? You see a little dolly about this high. The mother of God? Please. The mother of God? A little dolly this high? No, my friend. Don't deceive me. God abhors idolatry. God despises idolatry. God will not be pleased with idolatry. Do not deceive the sinner. He's already in a bad case. He's already in a bad position. Why would you add onto his sins idolatry? Why would you add onto his sins and his iniquity that which God despises? We serve a jealous God. And he demands absolute faithfulness. And you would send us to an image? You would recommend an image to us? You would recommend a little dolly to us? Please, do not condemn me anymore. No, I need a daysman. I need somebody that can translate. And you can't trust man. You can't even trust the preacher. You cannot trust the missionary. Do not come to Mexico and expect Bill and I to translate for you. You better be careful. You know what's going to happen? You're gonna say, oh, how do I say, how do you do, I'm glad to meet you. And we're gonna say, Me llamo Miguel. Lo siento que soy tan feo. We're going to say, my name is Michael, or my name is Brent. I'm really sorry, I'm ugly. You better watch out for translators. You can't trust a preacher. You can't trust a minister. You can't trust a priest. Vain is the help of man. You cannot put confidence in man, but I want you to know there is a mediator. I want you to know there came a daysman. There came a savior. His name is Jesus, and he says in the Bible that he shall take away our sins. He is the Lamb of God. God himself became a man. And what better translator than that? We're talking about a perfect man. And we're talking about a perfect God.
Amen.
We're talking about a God that knows God. And we're talking about a man that knows man.
Amen.
My Bible says he suffered all things just as we are, but without sin.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He is the victor over sin. And he says, I'll be your advocate.
Amen.
Hey, you can't get a better translator than that. You can't get a better daysman than that. My Bible says there's only one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. He is our advocate. He is our mediator. He is our go-between. He is the door to heaven. And if you want to get there, come to Jesus. But you know, in the book of Revelation, we find an enemy. We find an enemy in Revelation in chapter 12, in verse 9. It says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out of the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. We have an accuser. We have that enemy, the arch enemy of God and our enemy. Then he'll come to you in the dark, and he'll come to you at nighttime. And he'll say, how in the world do you expect to be saved? Or he'll make you doubt that salvation. He'll make you doubt that mediator. He'll make you doubt that savior. He'll say, yes, he forgave you. Maybe, perhaps, he might have forgiven you some of those sins. But now you walk unfaithful. Now you walk unrevived. Now you fall into sin. Therefore, he'll cast you out. Therefore, he wants nothing to do with you, and he'll accuse you, and he'll deceive you. You see, he was a liar from the very beginning, and you should not believe him. Don't believe the accuser. My Bible says that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall not come into condemnation. My Bible says that therefore there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you tonight, are you in Christ Jesus? Hallelujah! I'm in Christ Jesus! Therefore there is no condemnation. Who's going to condemn me? Look at Romans in chapter 8. Exceeding precious promises. Romans in chapter 8 and verse 31. What shall then we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Huh? If you got God on your side, who's going to be against you? Huh? Hey, it's not like that big Eddie lets you down every once in a while. I thought, you know, as a preacher down in Lagos de Moreno, I thought, you know, we're going to be knocking on doors during Easter, during Lent, and that's the worst time to be knocking on doors any time of the year because drunkenness is rampant. And I had an option of selecting who was going to be my partner. Joey? No, I don't think so. Bill? Well, he wasn't as big as he is now. I don't think so. Then I had Big Ed. I said, oh, here we go. I'm going to get Big Ed. He'll be on my side. Ed, I want you to come with me or I'll go with you. Let's go knocking on doors. Sure enough, we knocked on doors, and sure enough, out comes some drunkard. He comes out there. He was madder. He was mad. Just to say, he was mad. He took that beer bottle and he pitched it at me. I praise the Lord that it hit the ground and bounced up and shattered on my leg. It hurt, to say the least. It hurt. I was able to bite my tongue. I did not give evil for evil. But I expected Ed to do something. I expected Big Ed to walk over there and protect me and say, hey, bud, what are you thinking? Just by his mere presence was scary. No, Ed, just oblivious. The whole thing just walking down the road, you know. Vain is the help of man. I'm telling you. Gotcha. Vain is the help of man. Oh, yes. I now remember another time. We were preaching out in the front of our house right around the corner. These two ladies came out and they were mad. There's nobody like a mad Catholic. There's nothing to compare it. It's like a rabid dog. They were mad. One of them began saying the rosary in a very loud voice. The other one came out threatening us with a big old tree branch. And Bill's over there, he's just sitting there watching me preach. He's just sitting there watching, just having a good old time. And then this lady, I'm preaching away, you know, and this lady come out with a five gallon bucket full of water. I didn't see her coming. Bill didn't warn me. He didn't say anything. And you know what happened? At the last minute, I saw something coming out of the corner of my eye. I got my Bible up just in time before I got my bath. And Bill's over there laughing like he's never laughed. He thought that was the funniest thing in the world. You know, vain is the help of man. I'm telling you. Don't count on man to help. He's going to tell off on me next time. I know. That's why I have to get my licks in. I'm going to be gone for 3-4 years over in Poland. He's a good brother. I appreciate him. But you know what's really funny about this? He's sitting there, and there was still about 2.5 gallons left in that bucket. And that lady looked over at him laughing so hard, and she went after him. You should have seen Bill trying to get up. Whoosh! Soaked him. Hey, I'm telling you, you can have some good brothers. I'm telling you, you can have somebody that might appear that they'd be able to help you. But I'm telling you, vain is their help, but not so the Lord. If the Lord be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation?
No.
Or distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Peril? Sword? Now, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, brother, are you persuaded tonight? For I am persuaded neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing to separate us.
Because we found refuge in a Savior.
He is the ark of our salvation. Hey, and the floods of God's condemnation cannot condemn us because the ark took it all. The ark suffered it all. He suffered for our sins. But you know, we have an enemy and he's the accuser of the brethren. He will accuse us day and night before the Lord and he'll accuse us to our face. He'll come in a dark season and whisper to our mind and make us doubt the promises of God. And right now you're revived and right now you're happy. But just remember, when the days go get rough and the nights get long, that devil's gonna come and tempt you. Respond with faith. Don't respond with pride. You should fear the devil. You should fear God more. Don't become a Pentecostal and try to cast the devil out of doorknob. The angels, being mighty, dared not rebuke the devil. The angels, Michael the archangel said, the Lord rebuke thee. You better find your refuge in the Lord because you are weak. I am weak. We are weak creatures. We cannot defeat Satan. Only Jesus can defeat Satan. And we're conquerors through him. Hallelujah. But you know, there comes dark nights, don't they? After revival meeting, there's going to come some times when you're going to get down again. There's going to come some times when you're not going to feel like raising your hands. There's going to come some times when out of your own mouth you're going to say, Master, carest not thou that we perish? There's going to come some times when you put yourself in the place of the devil and you accuse God for not caring. Have you been there? There's going to come some times when you're going to cry out, no man cares for my soul. There's going to come some times when you're going to accuse God Almighty, but I want you to know something. He cares for our soul. He cares for us. There's nobody that cares for us like Jesus. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He paid the ultimate price for us. My Bible says He will never leave us nor forsake us. He's going to go with us all the way. My Bible says let's read it. Philippians chapter 1. He that has begun a good thing in us, He's going to finish it. Being confident of this very thing, Philippians 1:6, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I thank God that I serve a God that finishes. He doesn't give up on us. He finishes. He's the good shepherd. You get scared in the night? He said, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. You have some heavy burdens here tonight? My Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Are you lost here tonight? You don't know about this joy and this peace of God that we have? Let me tell you about Jesus. Amen. There's not a sin that you can commit that His blood can't wash. His blood can cleanse you and make you white as snow. The world's left you. Your daddy doesn't care for you. Your children have deserted you. You carry some heavy burdens tonight. Cast them all on Jesus. He cares for you. That's what it's all about. Serving His blessed Savior. He cares for us. He's a good shepherd. He's the good Father. He ever liveth to intercede for us. In those nights and those times that we don't even know how to pray, He's praying for us. Those times and those nights when we've forgotten Him, He hasn't forgotten us. Brothers, I want to serve the Lord. I don't serve the Lord in order to get saved. I serve the Lord because I'm amazed by His love.